All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, dear journalists and friends, welcome to the press conference of Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, screening out of competition. And from your left to your right, producer Jerry Bruckheimer, Jeffrey Rush, Hector Barbosa, Astrid Berges-Fresbay, Sirena the Mermaid, Johnny Depp, Captain Jack Sparrow, Penelope Cruz, Angelica, the first female pirate on board, Sam Claflin, Philip Swift, Ian McShane, Blackbeard, and last but not least, director Rob Marshall. Welcome, everybody. And of course, my first question will be addressed to you, Jerry, and to you, Rob Marshall. Well, with these Pirates of the Caribbean, we're back to the spirit, really, of the first movie, yet with a different and fresh feel, with four new characters. So for both of you, what was your own personal challenge riding these Stranger Tides?
Well, the challenge also always is to get a fabulous script, and that is what we spent years on, just working the characters, creating new characters, and, you know, having the captain of the ship, Rob Marshall, at the helm of this, it made it much easier. And very creative, and also Johnny and Penelope. Johnny spent a lot of time working on the screenplay with all of us, and you know it certainly shows. And then the addition of Penelope, and that really, I guess, put the topping on the case and on the cake. And of course, Jeffrey added so much to not only the movie but to his character. So we're thrilled to have Jeffrey back along with Johnny. But Johnny, this is his movie. It's a Captain Jack Adventures, and we hope to continue him if audiences embrace this one.
Well, Captain Rob Marshall, what about you?
Well, for me, you know, I mean, this was an extraordinary experience, and I was asked by Jerry and Johnny, and it was sort of a dream come true. I've always wanted to do an adventure film, action-adventure film for families, and so this was really special. I guess the biggest challenge always is in something this large that has such production value, et cetera, is to make sure, as Jerry just said, the story stays central, you know, and the work of these magnificent actors. I mean, I was so lucky to have this extraordinary cast that doesn't get lost in amongst all of that, you know, to keep that fresh. And this, you know, what was great about having this particular script is it's so new, it just feels like a beginning. And, you know, I mean, led by the incomparable Johnny Depp. I mean, when I was asked to do this, you know, it's a director's dream to work with this man and to have that experience with him on every level as a consummate artist, but also as an extraordinary person was, you know, a great experience for me.
Well, thank you very much, Rob. We have a first question here, please.
Hello. UDAE Belgian TV. It's a question for Johnny Depp. Johnny, very often actors become famous with one character, for example, Sean Connery with James Bond. But in this case, you were famous before Jack Sparrow. Then what kind of relationship do you have with this character? How do you imagine it can last forever, this character? Or what kind of link do you have because you make many, many other things outside this franchise?
For me, I think with any character, when you run out of stuff, you know, when you run out of opportunities or possibilities for the character, it's over with. Either that or when you start playing the character or you continue to play the character for the wrong reasons, you know. That's why I think that, in a way, you know, you feel, I mean, nobody's bulletproof, but you feel semi-bulletproof because the very seed of the reason for it is for the right reasons. Captain Jack, like any of our characters, developed like any other character I played before. he just felt that with those other characters, the story was done, you know. But with Captain Jack, I think there's still, I feel like there's much more to be had and much more fun to be had. And essentially, I mean, as long as the stories, the scripts are good, and filmmakers like Rob Marshall, we'll be in good shape.
A question here, please.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cannes. It's nice to have you here. I'm Francisco Cáceres from Ticket in Central America. I have two questions. First, to Johnny. You've been really involved in the franchise. I would like to know how much of a creative input did you have for this film? And then for Penelope, how much of the action sequences were you able to shoot since you were expecting on the film? And I've read that your sister Monica helped a little bit. If you could comment on that, please. Thank you very much.
You want to go first?
I did a couple of months in LA of training with the same team that did Pirates, the three movies. And they taught me, I knew all the, not all of them, but some of the fights, some of the choreographies. And then once we started, I did what was able to do, not everything, just what was safe, nothing dangerous. They protected me every single step of the way. That was the most important thing for me, but also for them. And they were extremely kind and careful and really, really protective. And it was really helpful that we had that time before the movie started in Los Angeles.
Penelope's an extraordinary physical dancer, and you know, seeing her get up there and do that, I mean, she just did it so beautifully. And we moved the schedule around as much as we could so we could shoot a lot of her work early on as well. But you know, one of the reasons she's cast is because she's so physical, in addition to being everything else that she is.
Then Monica came at the end for 1 week and a half or so in London.
Yes.
Because she's a dancer.
Towards the end, we needed, we actually asked Monica to help us out for some of the wide shots and some of the long shots where we needed a different silhouette.
And she's very good with the sword because she did it in a movie herself.
Yeah, no, she was fantastic and a real friend to the film. Mm-hmm. You know, but she was fantastic and just sort of, you know, lovely, lovely woman, and that the whole family is extraordinary.
Johnny, your creative input.
As far as, you know, I was very lucky, you know, in the regard that the creative team, you know, that is Jerry Bruckheimer, the writers, and Rob invited me into the process of developing the story, you know, from page one. So, how much of it is mine? You were asking. Well, I mean, you know, it's a sort of a, you know, there are ingredients from all angles, from everyone, you know, and then that becomes, let's say, the sort of bones of the structure. And then once you're on the set, even that changes around, and pieces of flesh get ripped off, and other things thrown on, and then Band-Aids, and you know, parsley, and all that. So I was very lucky to be involved.
A question here, first row.
Hi, question for Mr. Depp. Depp, every time I see Jack Sparrow, I remember about Marlon Brando's character, Lee Clayton from Missouri Breaks, that have many similarities with Sparrow. Was this character an inspiration? What are the inspirations to Jack Sparrow?
Well, certainly, I mean, anything that Marlon did within cinema and outside of cinema, because I was lucky enough to know him, and so anything that he did on film or outside is a great inspiration to me. I can't say that I used anything of Marlon's for Captain Jack, because Captain Jack was basically a. How I saw the character was this sort of weird combination between a 18th century rock and roll star, i.e. Keith Richards, and then Pepe Le Pew, who was a skunk, kind of a skunk, basically, very romantic skunk.
Question over there, please.
Conchita Casanova, Radio Nacional de España. One question for Penelope Cruz, if it's possible, asking Spanish. They told me that it's possible. Did you feel comfortable in one film like this, big, with Johnny Depp and with action, visual effects?
Muy cómoda, sí, porque Ellos me lo pusieron muy fácil. Yo tenía muchas ganas de trabajar con ellos otra vez. Con Rob había trabajado en Nine, con Johnny en Blow, y hacía ya casi 12 años. Y estaba deseando repetir con los dos, y de hecho dije que sí antes de leer el guión. Luego lo leí, me encantó, y no sabía que era una pirata, una mentirosa, manipuladora, y un personaje con tantos colores. Y la verdad es que lo he disfrutado mucho, mucho. Fue un rodaje largo, 6 meses viajando por todo el mundo, pero lo he disfrutado muchísimo.
A question over there, please.
Thank you. I am Ernesto Garrat from
Could
Chile.
Could you please stand up?
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
I have a question for Penelope Cruz first. In this kind of movies, how do you feel sharing with, you know, great talents, and especially with great character talents as Mr. Jeffrey Rush or Johnny Depp himself or Ian McShane? I mean, how was sharing this with this team of males, you being the only pirate female? And question for Johnny Depp, how do you share with your family, your kids, seeing this kind of movies, you know, family movies? Thank you so much.
I felt very, very honored. You know, I felt very lucky, huge privilege to share scenes with them and to spend time with them. I'm a big fan of them for a long time. And with Jeffrey and Ian and Astrid and Sam, I never worked with them before, but I loved every minute of it. And with Johnny, I worked before almost 12 years ago. And, I mean, it was about time that somebody would put us together again because we had so much fun working together, and I have so much respect for him. His level of creativity is so high and so free and so inspiring, and he's really a very unique human being, a very unique artist, and you feel really lucky to be around him. He's inspiring in every way, like Rob said, not just as an actor. It's in every single way. So I hope we get to do it many, many more times.
A question over there.
Hi, everyone. Hello. Hi. I'm Janice from Hong Kong TVB. And should I go on?
Yes. About my family and how they react. My family, my family have seen more of my movies than I have. In fact, a lot more, including this one. So they've been angels through the process because I started out secretly testing characters on them, you know, to see how the reactions would be. You know, you'd sort of... Yeah, just try the character. When my daughter was little, we'd be playing Barbies, and I'd start doing these voices, you know. And finally, she just said, stop, when she was old enough to. So they go and see the movies, and basically I can tell by their reaction if I did all right or not. So I'm very lucky in that way. But they seem to enjoy them so far. I haven't been fired by my kids, but... Thank you. Sorry.
Question there.
Hi, everyone. I'm Janice from Hong Kong TVB. First of all, I would like to ask Johnny, after all these years, how do you feel this time working with Penelope in this 3D new version of the sequel? And would you consider producing this movie one day? And secondly, I would like to ask Penelope, what's the most challenging part in playing this character? Thank you.
Well, the opportunity to go back to work with Penelope on any film would have been, you know, I mean, just a gift, you know, just a sublime gift, because she's such a talent, and so capable, so funny, so smart, so talented, you know. But beyond that, she's an amazing person. She's a great woman and a great friend and a very, very loyal friend. And then within the context of the work, when you get into the ring with her, whatever you might throw out to her, she's going to grab and chuck it back in some obtuse direction, and then she'll throw a few things herself that keep you on your toes, you know. She's an incredible talent, and I'd do them all with her if she'd let me. And as far as producing one of the, you know what, there's no way in the world. That's the only man that can produce. There's no way. I would have exploded within the first 5 minutes of Pirates One, had I had any sort of, you know, investment like he does. No, he's the only man for the job, for sure. He's a wizard, Jerry.
We have a question over there.
I think Penelope had a second.
Okay. Hi.
Yes, sorry. Hi. You asked about the biggest challenge for me with the movie. I think was maybe some of the learning how to use the sword, some of the action scenes, but really the biggest, if I can be honest, was to keep a straight face in some of the dramatic scenes in front of Johnny. That's really difficult. Really.
Hi. A question there.
Hi, I'm the French Sylvia Burford, French journalist for Disney Channel France. My question is for Johnny Depp. I would like to know what are the qualities to be a good pirate.
The qualities to be a good pirate? Well, I mean, I can only speak from my experience. From the first second, I suppose you have to be willing to get fired. And yeah, I mean, I think I don't know. Are there good qualities to pirates? I'm not sure. I don't know. I think the only reason that I'm still around is because I was so supported by first and foremost Jerry Bruckheimer and the director on the first one, Gore Verbinski, in terms of what I was bringing to the table, character-wise. You know, it didn't, let's say, there wasn't a group of Disney upper echelon who had any enthusiasm whatsoever for what I was doing. They almost subtitled me. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there are any. That's the, you know, I suppose the only good quality that my pirate had was he was probably ignorant and persistent. That's pretty much it. Thanks.
Question here. Please, the mic over there. Yes. Could you pass the mic, please?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Cannes. It's lovely, very lovely to have you all here. It's really a pleasure. My name is Yael. I work for Red Carpet Network.tv. I have a question for Mr. Marshall. Our sister channel, Broadway.tv, followed you very, very closely as you directed the movie Nine. I wonder, how is it different? How is Nine different and similar as well from directing Pirates of Caribbean?
Gosh. There's more men in this one, that's for sure. And listen, you know, my great joy working on anything is stepping out in front of the camera and working with the actors. You know, and I feel very blessed because I've had two extraordinary casts back to back. And obviously Penelope was in both of the films, and there's a reason, because she's extraordinary, as Johnny said so beautifully. And this is just it's an enormous production, this. And the thrill of this for me was the fact that we got to travel all over the world shooting it. I mean, we started in Hawaii, and then we went to Los Angeles and Puerto Rico and then London. And, you know, we pinched ourselves all the time. I certainly did. Because, you know, I know Jerry's used to this size of production, but certainly most of us aren't. And we were so aware of, and especially in this day and age, how lucky we are to make a film of this scale. And so we felt very responsible, I think all of us, to make sure that this was a great film. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is sort of rest on the laurels of this great franchise. So I think all of us felt like, you know, get out there and do your great work and do everything you can. And that's sort of what we did every day. I mean, what was extraordinary for me is that with Johnny as the leader of this company, you know, he's in this movie so much throughout, I mean, I'd say more than any of the other films in a way. And the stamina, I mean, this shot for 108 days. And I've never shot anything that long. But, you know, you'd go to work and you look in these people's eyes, and you look in Johnny's eyes, and he's there, constantly creating, constantly being a support, so gifted in every way, but as a brilliant artist, there every day for you, and so that keeps you going. It was a marathon, but it was worth every second working with this extraordinary cast.
Well, we've heard some of our pirates, but we haven't heard yet some other newcomers of this new film. So could you tell us a bit about Astrid and Sam and Jan, how you approached your new characters aboard this movie, and how challenging were those parts for you?
Would you like Sam to answer first?
Absolutely. Go for it.
It's all yours.
I mean, the amazing thing for me was, obviously, this is my first film ever. I mean, that in itself was quite a challenge. But I sort of maintained my focus, I think. We tried my hardest to, and Rob was there to kick me into shape when I wasn't. Philip's the moral compass of the whole story. And the amazing thing is that he never really loses his belief in God and stays on the straight and narrow. He's not sort of tempted by the pirate's life, which, unlike a few, is very tempting. But he falls in love with a mermaid, and that was definitely one of the most difficult things about this job. You know, falling in love with a beautiful girl, so hard. I was so lucky to have Astrid as a co-star and to be working with these amazing, amazing actors. Rob Marshall, hats off to the man. He really sort of made me feel at home and kept me calm, really. I mean, it's a very nerve-wracking thing, sort of being in this sort of situation. So I'm very, very grateful to everyone who sort of got me here, really.
Well, Astrid, I was just seeing you nodding like this. I mean, you are the mermaid, the mysterious Sirena. I mean, how did you all fit in? Because there are some magical scenes, involving mermaids.
Well, Rob helped me a lot, and we talk a lot about how animal are the mermaids too in the movie. They are really in between human and creature, and that was really interesting. And maybe because Rob is such so physical. And so we worked together, and Sam helped me a lot too. And with my English, well, everybody helped me a lot. Yeah.
You just felt good in those waters, right? Supported by all of them.
Yes, it was incredible. And I still can't really believe what happened, and I had the pleasure and the chance to the privilege and the honor to work with everybody on the table, around the table, Jerry, Rob,
and obviously we have our last newcomer on board, the absolutely frightening Blackbeard, Ian McShane. How was it to get into this character's evil skin, so to speak?
Well, it's nice to be asked.
Yeah.
First of all, and working with Rob and Jerry for the first time. A character as iconic as Blackbeard, I think I used to, in the mornings before we stuck on this incredible beard, which used to take about 2.5 hours, used to play a lot of music, especially Bob Dylan's song, Boots of Spanish Leather, which is that old pirate song I always think. And then the way of acting any character is, you plant your feet, you look at the other character in the eye, and you try not to trip over your sword. Because my sword is 3 times as big as anybody else's. And it was also nice to play an evil character, as I've played quite a few of those, as you probably know. But one that I could actually see with my grandchildren. That was, you don't see any of the... Well, we don't call them evil characters anymore. We call them complicated people.
A question here.
Hi. That's brilliant. Hi. Good afternoon and good luck with the new movie. I am Yuval from Israel today, and I have a question for you, Johnny, and for you, Fanolopa. First one is, can you tell how is life after winning the Oscar, the professional career, the script that you got, and how do you choose your project? And same question, but different for you, Johnny. Usually you're doing unusual project and very interesting. How do you choose the project, and is winning an Oscar is a goal in your career? Thank you.
No, it really didn't change the way I try to make a decision to decide on doing or not doing a movie. It was a beautiful thing that happened, and the good thing is that every time it's in my house and every time I look at it, I see, you know, all the people that are part of it, all the people that gave me opportunities to work, that gave me opportunities to make a living out of this thing that was a dream for me growing up, and then I got to do it, and again and again and again, and make a living out of being an actress. So for me, all of those faces, all of those names are there every time I look at it. So just very, very grateful.
Question here. And Johnny as well.
I've actually always been very comfortable, losing. So I don't mind. For me, for any of us, really, what it all boils down to, it's obviously very nice to be, recognized for a piece of work that you did, you know. But at the same time, it's not what you're doing it for, you know. You're in it for the process of creating and exploring and, you know, kind of navigating yourself through these, different sort of waters, you know, each time out of the gate. So, I'm not bitter. No, it's really just about, you know, doing the work and enjoying the process, collaborating with such amazing people like, you know, the likes of Rob Marshall and everyone here. That's what it's all about. The only real drag of me not seeing the films that I make is I don't get to see other people's work. So, you know, I'm asking next time in my contract if I can have a version where I'm actually cut out of the film. But everybody else is in.
Question over there, please.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Tamara from Prime Radio in Australia, and my question's for all of the actors, in particular Johnny Depp and Jeffrey Rush with the longer-running characters. When you come up with a background story and a profile for your characters, are there little secrets that you keep in mind when you step into the roles? And if so, would you like to reveal any of those for us?
Barbossa keeps changing. He started out as the kind of badass villain, and then at World's End, he sort of became a politician. And now that he's crossed the line and started to work for George II, I think maybe the second day of shooting, it was a night shoot and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and Johnny and Kevin McNally and myself are lying on the ground on the edge of this cliff overlooking the Spanish camp, and it takes a little while for the massive 3D camera to be set up. And Rob was there saying, "Look at you guys." He was so excited. He said, "It's like Liza Minnelli and Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr., you know." And Johnny just then dropped into the most amazing impression of Sammy Davis Jr. And Kevin McNally started singing a Frank Sinatra song, so I figured I must have been the Liza Minnelli. But it was a very useful note, you know, because I thought working in the court of George II is a new thing, and I thought maybe that's a little like playing Vegas. You've got to go out there with a whole new kind of energy. So it was great for me as an actor.
Yes, Isaac Tenley from Buenos Aires Herald. I would like to ask questions to Penelope. How is it for you to embody the character in an acquired language, like shifting from Spanish to English? What kind of adjustments you need to make in this respect?
Well, fortunately, I always get to work with a great dialect coach, and she's there and she helps me, and it's a little bit of extra work, but I love it. It gives me the opportunity to keep understanding the language, hopefully improving And now I feel a little bit more freedom than before. When I worked with Johnny the first time, I didn't really understand a lot of what was going on the set. And I didn't like that feeling, you know. And I don't like missing things. And I feel lucky that I can work in different languages. Yeah. And
question over here.
Hi, Vincent Dow, BBC World Service Radio. Specifically for Jeffrey, you were last in the spotlight for a, I don't know, maybe $12 million picture, The King's Speech. This cost a lot more than $12 million. For the actor, when you're making, and then when you're promoting movies which are relatively small and then huge, is it a completely different experience, or does it not really matter?
I think, as Johnny said, look, it is different, you know, because the budget on this was bigger than The King's Speech. This was $13 million, wasn't it, Jerry? Yeah. The scale of it is certainly different. You know, you're on a pirate film and the budget is very big, but when you're shooting scenes out at sea and you've got to take out 80 pirates and all the stunt doubles and all the marine crew and the makeup people... I remember at World's End, on the call sheet one day, it said there's 800 people for lunch. You know, he throws a mean lunch. As an actor, I don't think we approach it in a different way. I mean, I'm still analysing the script to try and find out how the other people talk about this character, what he actually does, what he says, whether it's... playing a speech therapist or whether it's playing a pirate. It's good that I keep working with people called King George. That's been very useful. No, I don't find it different.
A question over here.
Okay, thank you. It's this question for Johnny Depp. Thank you very much. My name is Tatiana from W Radio and Caracol Television from Colombia. You have come here at Cannes many times to present movies. How do you feel presenting this movie here? And do you think the public is going to like it? And do you fear maybe the critics?
Yeah. Yeah, I've always feared the critics. They really scare me. And that's why we've come to Cannes. It's a great honor to present a film such as this, you know, in such an incredible arena. I mean, to so many people, and to have that many, you know, people see the film all at once. It's a real honor. I mean, Cannes is it's the pinnacle, you know. So yeah, I mean, we're all very, very honored to be here. Is it your normal Cannes fare? No, I wouldn't say that. But we were invited to show it, and we're excited about it. And wine isn't bad. Food's pretty good. People are nice. Yeah, no. Do I think that the audience will like it? I think so. I mean, but you know, you never know. I mean, somebody could have stepped on a rusty nail in a bad day, or gas pocket. Who knows? I'm thinking that people will like it, because I mean, from the first second, we went well out of our way, each and every one of us, to bring something very new and very fresh, to, you know, something that already has a kind of a backpack filled with a trilogy in it, you know. So we wanted to go to deliver something to the people that was expressly made for the people, sculpted for the people, and with them in mind. So if they don't like it, it's their own fault.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
A question here.
Hi, this is Thiago Stivaletti from Brazil. Short questions to Penelope and Johnny. Let's talk a little bit about the subject of the film, The Fountain of Youth. Penelope Angelica says at the end of the film something like, you know how I need all those years. I'd like to know how's aging for you, and would you like to find the Fountain of Youth? And to Johnny, Jack Sparrow says at the end, you know, maybe I don't need all those tears, maybe I am eternal. So how many more Jack Sparrows can we expect? Thank you.
The Fountain of Youth.
She already drank it.
Thank you, Johnny. I don't know. I think birthdays are always something to celebrate. I'm looking forward, you know, to every step of the way. And maybe because I'm from Spain, that's looked in a different way there than, for example, in a place like Los Angeles, no, in our industry. But I will always be a Spanish actress working there or wherever I go to work. And there are a lot of things that I keep, you know, from my roots, and that's one of them, the way we look at that. I don't ever want to be afraid of that. Change is good.
Johnny, the second part of the question was for you.
Yes. How many more Captain Jacks? Again, you know, I mean, as long as you have, if you are surrounded by such an amazing, you know, creative force such as Jerry, such as Rob, such as, you know, strong actors like these guys, I mean, I think the possibilities are endless. I mean, but really, ultimately and truly, you know, these films are made for the people, and it's the people that go in and they pay their hard-earned money to see these things. And, you know, if the people get tired of it or something, then that's when it stops, I think, you know, really, you know. And I suppose, like what I was saying earlier, you know, when the process becomes impure, if the process becomes impure, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, and I know that every single person up here is doing it for the right reason, you know, it's not just all about the sort of ka-ching, ka-ching. I mean, you know, some people lose the sight of the fact that is the movie business. So if a lot of money is spent on making a film, then certainly whoever spent that money expects a return on it. But that's not the reason that we dove in. That's not the reason that we go in and make asses of ourselves. We do that for the people. So as long as the people want it, I'm there.
Question over there.
Giovanna Grassi, Corriere della Sera, Italy. To the producer, we are all happy to see this movie, perfect performance for each role, musicals and everything. It's a movie for all. But I think that for the American cinema, it's more and more difficult to find an equilibrium between the blockbusters and the small, intelligent, different movie. Not because this is not intelligent, but different. I want to know your opinion about this. Is a market totally different from the 70s? And in the summer, we will see so many sequels, prequel, beautiful animation movies. And less and less few intelligent small movies. Can you tell us something about this?
Well, I think, you know, I'm sitting next to somebody who proved all this wrong. King's Speech was a small movie. It found its place. It won Academy Awards. In Hollywood, there's places for the big movies and the small movies. And it just takes courage for the financiers to put up money for the smaller movies as the big movies, because there's a lot to lose if you fail at one of these big films. A smaller movie, the investment's not as great. But we have a lot of courageous people around the world who do put up money for all types of movies. And you'll see a lot of those types of movies here in Cannes. And we're very fortunate to be in this business and be able to do both types of movies. I think Penelope and everybody on this panel, all our actors, have done both types and love them both. It's fun to entertain hundreds of millions of people around the world like the Pirates franchise has, and the same good spirit and goodwill that the King's Speech has traveled around the world and entertained people. So it's always about the story, the idea, the characters, the plot, not the size, but the heart.
Question over there, please.
Hi, Donald Clark from the Irish Times. Question for the mighty Ian McShane.
Ian, we've known you as national treasure for years and years and years, but the last sort of five or six, you seem to have got more and more work and more nasty and attractive roles since Deadwood, I guess. Could you talk a bit about how life has changed for you? Do you feel that you're suddenly hot after being medium hot for a few years?
Or sizzling, maybe.
Hot, hot, hot. Deadwood opens a different thing. I mean, a script by a man like David Milch, who's a genius, who did the show before, I mean, NYPD Blue. That was extraordinary. Deadwood may be the best experience over 3 years ever, working with somebody who was creative every day. We were all on the set. Everybody was on the same set. It changed every day. It wasn't the regular TV series. It was HBO. They took a chance on it. It was a Western. I mean, it was a revisionist Western, if you like, but it was really the story of the beginnings of capitalism in America. But when you, and it universally got great reaction from the press and people alike. So, yes, it does open up enormous doors. And, it was marvelous to be asked to do something like this. A big character, a culmination of evil, if you like, or complication, as I said before. And, but on another level, because I don't watch a lot of my films. A few of them I don't even remember making a long time ago, but that's another subject. But something like Deadwood I watch now and again, and this I watch with my children and my grandchildren the other night, so that was really exciting. Oh. And by the way, I think that, you know, we're in a special section here, the pirate section. I think we'll win it, Johnny. They've created that. And also, I think they should follow, the Hollywood should open up like they do in now, you know, special awards, not just for films, but for comedy or musical. They should open up a pirate section, and you'd walk away with it, Mr. Depp, I have a feeling. Anyway, yeah, it's been great the last few years. I hope it continues. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question over here.
Brian Johnson from McLean's Magazine in Canada. Question for Johnny Depp. Johnny, when you were making those little idiosyncratic films with the likes of Jim Jarmusch and so on, did you ever imagine or wish that you would be commandeering a franchise like this? Do you miss the intimacy of those films? And one other question, was there ever any question of expanding Keith Richards' role? Did you want him to? Did he want to? We always want more of Keith Richards.
Well, yeah, so do I, and so did I. But Keith, you know, he's got a... Yeah, being one of the Rolling Stones is probably, you know, his day job is... doesn't afford him very much time, you know, outside of his world there. But it was certainly great having him, and he was amazing. He was amazing in the film, amazing to you know, get into the ring with again. Amazing to share a trailer with. I may write a book on that myself one day. In terms of, yeah, doing the smaller films like Dead Man and things with Jarmusch and whatnot. I've been pretty lucky, you know, to at the very least try and work out a balance in terms of angling my way towards just doing what is true to me. And, it just so happens that for 20 years or so, I made these films that were considered, for the most part, just, well, failures, flops. And I built a career on flops, so I was quite comfortable in that arena. And then, you know, a couple of things hit. You know, it's a very strange little ride, and you get used to it pretty quick, like the idea of, you got a film coming out. Ooh, he's on the list again. Maybe he's on the list. Let's begin, you know. So then, like, producers you haven't talked to for, like, 15 years call you. How have you been? That kind of thing, you know. Because you might be on the list, and then that film takes a dump, and they don't call you again until the next one is going to come out. So I've always kind of had that, you know, throughout my this career thing. But I do, you know, like... I did have the wonderful opportunity, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life, to after Pirates 1, to make a film called The Libertine about John Wilmot, the Earl of Rochester, that about 7.5 people saw, and then let's see, there's been a couple of other things here and there, and then I've got this film called The Rum Diary, with Bruce Robinson, of With Nell and I fame, that's coming out in September, October. So, you know, I don't know. You know, nobody knows what a big film is until it goes out and people go to see it and it makes money. Then they start calling it a big film, and then they even call it a blockbuster. But nobody really knows what anything's going to be until people shell out for it, ultimately. So, and, you know, even for me, you know, I mean, doing the Pirates films, and I know that there are 18,000 trucks and, you know, 800... for lunch and the whole thing, but still within the context of the process, it still feels very intimate. You still feel like you're doing, you know, it still feels the same as any, you know, as a film with a 30-person crew. You know, you're just doing the work, really. Thank you.
Question here.
Sabine Schulz, German television, ZDF. Does this work? Yeah. No. Question for Johnny Depp. There's a female pirate in the new film, a beautiful Angelica, who is as strong, as sexy as Jack Sparrow. What kind of influence would you say does the Battle of Sexes have on the pirates and on Jack Sparrow in particular?
Well, for me, I mean, it was one of the interesting things for the character, you know, the kind of... yeah, I mean, not only like a super worthy opponent, but a super worthy opponent who happens to be a very beautiful woman that could sort of, you know, make Jack's tongue stop working properly here and there, you know. Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, getting in there with Penelope and having her deliver the amazing... bits and bobs that she was able to deliver. It was incredible. I think it's, for me, it was the first time you see Jack really kind of get uncomfortable about anything, really uncomfortable. And it's because of her. And it also happens to be that that her dad's Blackbeard. Yeah, which is a pretty nasty proposition as well.
Well, we have one last question, which will be the final of today's press conference.
Hi, this is Carol Guerrero from Univision, and my question is to Penelope. Penelope, can you please make a brief comment about Pedro's film? He's coming next week with La Piel Que Habito. You've been here with him, I think, like 2 years ago with Los Abrazos Rotos. So if you can please give me a brief answer in Spanish, it will be really nice. Thanks.
No he visto la película aún, pero estoy deseando. Me da mucha pena que nos tenemos que ir mañana porque él llega 2 días más tarde. Creo que son 2 o 3 días más tarde. Y creo que veré la película en cuanto llegue a Madrid. Espero que me la enseñe ya. Pero el guión es maravilloso. Creo que es una de las mejores cosas que ha escrito. Y espero que le vaya muy, muy bien en el festival, como se merece. Yo he estado aquí muchas veces con él. Y le echamos de menos. Me da mucha pena que nos vayamos a cruzar.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Rob, Jerry, and everybody, for bringing us these pirates to Cannes. Thank you. Thank you.